We bless God for this day. I often open a sermon with some light-hearted remarks. Don't feel I can today. But Remembrance Sunday is filled with so many, many different memories and different emotions, different feelings. And I asked Joyce yesterday what was her first memory. I'm not going to repeat it to you. Well, I'll repeat mine, because my very first memory, I was about 2 years old, just over. But I just had this memory of this, the VE Day bonfire. And it seemed to reach up into the sky. It went forever. Imagine I'm down here, all right. But my father had brought in one or two lorry loads of faggots and various things that they'd built the bonfire with. And I come from Sussex. If you want to know what faggots are, I'll tell you afterwards. And they were burnt on the fire. And the bonfire was absolutely enormous. But the joy that everyone was celebrating was first that we had gained the victory and the war was over and peace had been restored. The freedom was incredible. Just before he died, Jesus said in John 14:27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And he carried on speaking with them. He was walking with the disciples. They were going to the Garden of Gethsemane, went over the brook Kidron. So he's talking for quite a while. You'll get it in chapters 14, 15, 16, and the prayer in 17 of John's record of the gospel. Get to the end of chapter 16. He said, look, I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Tremendous, isn't it? Just have a little bit of history revival, you know, let's remember what today is all about a little bit. After the Kaiser had abdicated on the 9th of November 1918, the armistice was signed in the forest of Compiègne. It was the 11th of November 1918, and the fighting stopped at 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month. The war ended. Freedom had been bought, not brought, bought, paid for. And peace was restored. That day is special to us all. It's what we call Remembrance Day. Move forward into the next generation. 8th of May 1945, Prime Minister Winston Churchill announced the unconditional surrender of Germany. The Führer of the Third Reich, Adolf Hitler, had committed suicide. This surrender meant peace. No more Belsens, Auschwitz, Colditz. No more air raids, doodlebugs. Silenced were the sirens. Silenced were the guns, the tanks, the bombing raids. Blackouts began to be taken down. Airfields of East Anglia began to wind down. Many of the land army girls and evacuees returned home. Prisoners were released. A glorious peace reigned over our land. Now we bless God for the victories given to us as a nation and the peace that has ensued. And let us not forget, though, the surrender of Japan later on in 1945, but we would also not forget either Malaya, Korea, Suez, yes, I'm getting into the 52, 56. Some of us have lived through all of these. Aden, Borneo, Congo, Biafra, Sinai, Angola, Northern Ireland, the Falklands, Kuwait, Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan. Since the end of the last World War, thousands of our servicemen and women have died serving their country. And many thousands more today bear the scars of warfare and conflicts, both in their bodies and in their minds. There are some, but only a few, here in this congregation who have even personally experience the horrors of warfare and conflict. Bless God for Billy being with us today. But there's others in this congregation as well. We have it brought to us in our homes, however, every day through television, news bulletins from Syria, from Lebanon, Mideast, Nigeria, Sudan, Yemen, as well as Iraq and Afghanistan. Let us never cease to pray, by the way, for God's people in these countries. Indeed, yes, time like an ever-rolling stream bears all our its sons away. Isaac Watts had it right, didn't he? Let us never forget either the words of the Kohima epitaph in India. It reads, when you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. That, by the way, was a turning point in the Japanese offensive between April and June 1944. The Japanese lost 54,000 men. We lost, British and the Allies, 16,500, it was about 12,500 of ours, 4,000 Indians, I believe. For your tomorrow, we gave our today. The aftermath of the First World War, the people of Britain needed a focus for their grief and loss. War memorials were erected across the UK and in the greatest wave of remembrance this nation has ever seen. Almost every parish had one. Why? Because every parish pretty well had lost people of their villages and towns and areas. Lives have been taken. Mothers never saw their sons again. They had a telegram boy. They didn't get a reunion. These war memorials are very poignant. They mean a lot to me. Normally, for many, many years of this time, I was chaplain of the Royal British Legion for many, many years. And yes, I expect there'll be several hundred in that little village of Fressingfield where I served for many years, and I'll be around the war memorial this morning. I've been privileged to stand by the tomb of the unknown soldier in Westminster Abbey, cenotaph in Whitehall, the commander memorial in Spain Bridge near Inverness. I stood by the tomb of the unknown soldier in Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. By the memorial in Kranji in Singapore, this particular place is poignant to me. so sorry. Member of my family, and their name is inscribed on this tomb. Just a name. There is no grave. You see, there was no body. Great Uncle Don was taken as prisoner by the Japanese. Hundreds and hundreds of our men were on board of a ship being taken supposedly to Japan. They got into international waters and scuppered the ship. And that wasn't only one occasion either. So there's no body buried at sea. But these memorials, they speak to me of the cost of freedom, the cost of peace. When was the cenotaph in London erected? It was on Peace Day, celebration in 1919. I love that word, Peace Day. We don't have that day now. We have Remembrance Sunday, but it's still fine. Indeed, this peace which we have enjoyed nearly all of our lifetime has been strived for. It's been fought for. And as we were reminded this time last year, I especially emphasized it was prayed for. God answered amazing prayers for us as a nation. The path of peace has been a hard pathway, and it has called for much sacrifice. And it is this that makes the peace all the more precious. It reminds me of the words of Edmund Sears. We sing it at Christmas time. That lovely carol came upon a midnight clear. With sorrow brought by sin and strife, this world has suffered long. And since the angels sang, have passed 2,000 years of wrong. For man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, you men of strife, and hear the angels sing. And what was their message? The Bible says in Luke 2:14, this was their message. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth altogether. Peace. That's right. Peace on earth. And this is the peace that God brought for us when his Son came into this world. The God of peace gave his Son, and he called him the Prince of Peace. Let me remind you again of the words of Jesus that we read at the beginning. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. The peace I give you, the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I've told you all of this, that you may have peace in me. Friend, listen well. I won't be too long, I'll try, I promise. But listen, what Jesus is saying this morning, that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. Diggers, I'm going to have four little headings. Here comes number one for your sheets, all right. We titled sermon, if you like, Peace in Jesus. So it was all that introduction, call it what you like. Yeah, it probably was. God's plan for peace. By nature, we don't want anything to do with God or Jesus. I speak now of the natural man, how we're born into this world, how we are left to ourselves. We don't want him ruling our lives, dictating to us what we can and what we can't do. We do what we like. We go where we like. We say what we like. We're in control of our lives. We have our rights. You're in control? Or that is what our heart is telling us. Peter was speaking to us about our heart. Listen well. You see, sadly, the Bible tells me, and you can discover it because God knows all about you, the way you're made, every minute detail, everything. And he said, and the heart that you have now, it's deceitful by nature. You see, it tells lies. It's prone to be anti-God in every department of your being. In the book of Proverbs, we read that there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Left to our own resources, we end up destroying ourselves. You see, we ignore the bit inside of us where Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes says that God planted in us eternity in the human heart. Now, it's in you, in me, in every living being in this world. It's how we are made. It's part of our psyche. I have people say to me, well, you can't see the soul, can you? I mean, show me the evidence and I might start believing you. I said, well, okay, tell you what, you show me your conscience, or you probably haven't got one. Or you show me your mind. There's plenty of bits that you can't just go to an operating theater and say, hey, Mr. Surgeon, just take us out and show this to me, will you? But inside of you is a bit of eternity. God's put it in there. I remember a phrase that my mother used to use this way. She spoke about our never-dying soul. Absolutely right. Perfectly good expression, actually. But the point is, the soul is conscious after we pass away. You think you're in control? If so, I presume then you're never going to be ill. You're never going to have an accident. And come to that, you're never ever going to die if you're in control. Friend, you're in for a massive shock one day when you find out that you are not in control of your life and that God is for real. Yes, he does exist. But God's plan for peace was a rescue plan. Listen, there's a bit more to share with you. Because we move from the plan to the price. Yes, there's a price. God knows all about us. He cares about us. And more than that, he loves us. He loved us so much that he put into action his plan to save us and bring us forgiveness and love and peace. The price was his own son. In the Bible, you read in that Gospel of John again, Chapter 3:16, where he says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The bad news is that left to your own resources, you will perish. The good news is that God wants to rescue you from this. And he was prepared to give his own son to fight the battle, to conquer the enemy, to gain the victory for us, and to give us eternal peace and joy and love in heaven forever. Yes, eternal peace. It begins now, but it will be enjoyed in all its beauty and perfection in heaven one day. Like our two world wars, the price for peace was not cheap. So let's go from the plan to the price, let's go to the payment. Because the payment's got to be made. How's it going to be done? Jesus came into the world to gain the victory and assurance of heaven for us. And the price was his life. He, the sinless Son of God, I say the word sinless because he died the death of a convict, the worst crime. And he, the sinless Son of God, he laid down his life for us. He yielded us up his life as an atonement, a payment. Yes, he paid the ransom, if you like, for you and me, to set us free. Always remember, freedom is not free. Our servicemen paid the price. Jesus took the punishment that our sins deserved and descended into hell for you and me. If it were not so, we would be lost forever. I love that Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. The Bible says that the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. And you go down to the end of the chapter, it says, I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He bore the sins of many. Part of the Bible you may know very well is that John 15. Again, we're in that same discourse of John 14, 15, 16, 17, those chapters. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Just as our service personnel paid the price for peace, so did Jesus for our eternal peace. Christian, maybe you're tempted to think, hey, hang on a minute, I know all about this sermon. I've been there, I am a Christian, I do know God's peace. Friend, just be praising God, thanking him that he cared about you, came to you, showed you what he had done, led you into that peace, set you free, made known to you the conquest he had made for you. Just rejoice. Be praying for those who don't know that peace, whom you love in your family, or maybe somebody here, or somebody online. How we rejoice. No greater love. No greater love. God's plan, his price, the payment, but the place for this peace is something I just finally wanted to share with you. Where is the root of all the problems? Peter's told us this morning, told the children. It's in the heart. How do wars begin? In the heart. War is among the many dreadful miseries that sin has brought upon mankind. The sins of envy, of greed, of hatred, of jealousy, they all boil up. And they want what others have. Be it land, resources, prosperity. Now we say that reason and diplomacy and debate should prevail. Indeed, so it should. But you see, sin in the heart festers and it grows and it bears an awful, deadly fruit. The Bible says in James 1:15, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So where do rails begin? We've already heard about that from Peter. Where do all the fallouts and arguments start? Whether it is your partner, your neighbour, your work colleague, or that driver in front of you. Oh yeah. But where does it begin? It begins here in the heart. The place where desire is conceived and gives birth to sin. Let me go on again into these words from the Bible in James 1. And remember, when you're being tempted, don't say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. Heart trouble. Indeed, everyone suffers from it by nature. But praise the Lord, Jesus is the cure. There is a cure. Even amidst all the problems, challenges, conflicts, temptations, struggles, bad feelings, evil, suffering, wayward children, amidst all this, we can enjoy the peace of God in our hearts and our lives. Jesus bought it for us on the cross. He's paid the price. He truly has. Yes, I said we can enjoy this peace in our hearts. We can have peace from greed, from discontent, from jealousy, from hatred, from revenge. They all ferment and breed in the heart. Wars begin in the heart. All conflict begins here. All its anxiety, all unrest, all fears begin here. The seat of the affections, the spring of our feelings, of desires, and lusts. No wonder the psalmist cried out in 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." You see, God wants us to know peace where there is strife, to know His peace where there is conflict. He wants to give you rest from all your turmoil, forgiveness from all your wrong thoughts, from all your words said in anger. He wants you to find love and enjoy the security of what real love is all about. He wants to restore joy in your life. He wants you to be happy. He wants to give you His peace. And that will be beyond anything you could understand. And He wants to give it to you deep in your heart. A peace that just rests in the love of God, the one who truly is in control. In that Ecclesiastes 3 that I was just quoting just now, it begins early on, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Again in the Bible in Hebrews 9 and 27, we read it's appointed for each person to die once. After this, the judgment. Did you hear that word? It's appointed. Appointed? Who makes that appointment for you and for me? God does, my friend. The one who holds my life, my times in His hands. The one who is truly in control, the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, my Savior and my God, my Prince of Peace, and I love Him so much. And as a result, I trust Him for my life. I trust Him with those I love. He is my peace. Sunday, the 23rd of August, 1959. I think I've told you before, it's the day Jesus came into my life. And He gave me that peace 2 hours after I believed in Him as my Saviour. At 2 o'clock on that blistering hot Sunday afternoon, I asked Him into my heart to forgive me and wash my sins away, and He did. And at 4 o'clock, I was back in my bedroom and I was writing home to my mum and dad. You see, I suddenly discovered that my mum and dad had really been praying for me from the moment they knew I'd been conceived. And that afternoon was an answer to their prayers. So I wrote home to tell them. It's 4 o'clock. And I was just filled with a wonderful peace from top to toe, all over. Peace. And it was something beyond anything I could ever understand. At the beginning of that third hour of my new life in Jesus, just like the beginning of the third day when Jesus rose from the dead, he just gave me his peace. Hallelujah. And now he wants me to just be a channel of his peace to other people. How often we may have sung the adaptation of that prayer of St. Francis. It's also the anthem of the Royal British Legion. It's also sung at Princess Diana's funeral. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. The Apostle Paul was a channel. And so are you, dear Christian. So am I. So no wonder he was told by the Holy Spirit to write to those Philippians that Charles read for us this passage. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful peace the peace of Jesus is. I don't understand it. I've experienced it for 62 years now. I give him all the glory. It's a peace that enables me to live and will one day enable me to die if Jesus doesn't come again beforehand. You can go into your final hours with this peace, knowing Jesus has conquered death. He's gained the victory over the grave. He acquired the peace for us on the cross. Indeed, I'm leaving with you peace of mind and heart. This is his legacy. I've been executor for several people, and I think there's still a few on the list as well. But there's one thing I just want to say to you. You can't receive a legacy until the testator dies. And the wonderful good news is that the one who has died that you may receive his legacy is Jesus. And you may receive it today. Just like the end of the world wars, the fight is over. The enemy is defeated. Jesus has risen from the dead. And our ace to him, sorry, it's up there, puts it absolutely right. The strife is all, the battle's done, the victory of life is won. And the song of triumph has begun. Hallelujah. If you're unsettled and restless, you can receive this peace today. He's only just a prayer away. And you may receive that peace, that perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. It is the blood of Jesus that whispers peace within. On this Remembrance Sunday, I thank God for all laid down their lives at a young age, that we may join with freedom and peace. I thank God even more for the greatest sacrifice Jesus has made, that I may enjoy his peace forever. Jesus is just a prayer away. Let's close with this scripture. The door to peace is open. Jesus is saying to you, come to me. Come to me. We've already heard of these words. All of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Just ask Jesus to forgive your sins and come into your life, be your Savior and your Lord. Place your trust in him. Enjoy his peace deep in your heart and life. And may the God of peace bless you with his peace today and always.